Church today, the first day of October. We are thankful for the presence and able to gather here together today. Let me start off by saying, if anyone is thinking about inviting anyone to our services, now is a great time because there's an advertisement on the courthouse lawn that if any of you have been past there, that's a very familiar, attractive looking sign that tells you how to get to Sandusky first. So if you get a chance to go past the courthouse lawn, there's a unique figure and sign up there to celebrate some of our Heritage Days here at the church, and we're thankful for that. And if you're wondering who's responsible, that would be Mr. Frohmer. So thankful for those opportunities. Does anybody have any prayer concerns or Thanksgivings and joys that we'd like to share today? We've got our guys in our corner. Anybody? Any moments of prayer, of joy?
I know my wife won't say anything, so I'm going to say something. She's going into the hospital for a procedure on Thursday just to check things out, and I want you to put her in your prayers. Thank you.
Right. Thank you for scheduling that after the choir practice on Wednesday. So thank you for doing that. Yeah. Anyone else?
Over here, I guess. I just want prayers for all the farmers and for this fall harvest season.
All right.
I would like prayers lifted up for Guy Wells from Brown City. He has cancer and he's not doing too well.
Guy Wells?
Guy Wells.
Hey, anyone else? Anyone else have a joy and concern?
I'd like to give a big thank you to the congregation for our garage sale this week. We raised $876 for our women's group. So a big thank you to everyone who donated, everyone who helped, and everyone who bought stuff. So thank you.
You said $876? Well, congratulations to UMW women there. Thank you, yes. And it's great because there's so many things, some that get announced and some that don't get announced, that our UMW women's group helps out with a lot of the ministries of the church in this community and even beyond those in our borders. So we're thankful to be able to support that and glad that everyone had a good time serving and participating. Anyone else? Oh. All right. So, Linda, on October 14th, and just to renew so everybody heard, is even if you're not a regular member of United Methodist Women, any woman that's in the life of the church is invited to come, or if we want to bring somebody, just to let you know so you can prepare for that. And there will be an opportunity for them to work for their lunch, as showing people around. Right, the 14th, so please mark that down.
Just a reminder for all third through sixth graders, next Sunday after church, right after church during fellowship time for about a half hour, we're going to have the acolytes, the third through sixth graders, do a little training on how to do acolyting. Mrs. Seaman is going to come and teach you how to do that and the meaning behind that. So if you have a third through sixth grader or know of one, please make sure they're here next Sunday and plan on them staying while you have a snack.
All right, staying after during fellowship time. Okay, and speaking of Miss Michelle, She's not here today, but if you notice in your bulletin that the rose on the altar is to celebrate Dave Seaman's life, so we just want to, if you don't get a chance obviously to see her today because she's not here, would you please take an opportunity to celebrate with her? It's a unique time to celebrate and mourn at the same time, but we are thankful for Dave's life, so if you pass that on. And Bobby, you have kind of a combined concern and prayer request, don't you, for us today? Do we have that?
A
joy, okay. She has something for us today.
Why do I need one of these? I have a big mouth. Yes, yes. This is just a little token of our appreciation from UMW for all the hard work that she does for us on the sidelines and helping us out. We need to open it. If you look at the screen, she was the only one that it would fit into, other than a five-year-old. I think she looked hot.
Well, Suzanne, while you're up here, did you want to share at all about the buckets that we gathered? Because, you know, don't let that, we had a nice little laugh about it, and we're thankful that you enjoyed your experience at the sale as well there. But you know what? We also know that all those words that Bobby said were sincere. We're thankful for the things that you do that we are aware of and all the things that you do when the eyes aren't upon the mission group. And we, for a couple of weeks, right, we're collecting the buckets and the things for the hurricane victims. Could you tell us a little bit about, now that we did that drop-off, what some of the highlights were of that?
Yes, I dropped off. The drop-off was, actually, the buckets are going today to... they're loading them up and from Marlette. That was the pickup point. Our congregation filled 9 buckets, which I thought was wonderful. And they made contributions, cash contributions, to UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, of $850. Isn't that wonderful?
Wow.
Good job, Methodists.
Right. Thank you for that. You enjoy your garment and enjoy those things. You know, and we were talking a little bit, too, just to remind that celebration is prayers for the people from the district that are taking those things down to those that need it. But also, we set a goal for 5, didn't we? We set a goal for 5, and so we almost doubled that. So the generosity of us that are being provided for is a fantastic thing for us to look at. There is, did anybody else have an announcement? I have an announcement. No, do you have one? Go ahead. Four announcements. Let's get to you, and then we'll see how much time we have, and then we'll...
Is this on? Okay. November 3rd, turkey dinner. It's coming up quick. We're going to get sign-up sheets and all that stuff soon. October 15th, 2 weeks from tonight, is the first movie night. We don't have a movie picked out yet, but we are going to have movie night at 6 o'clock, and we will have cider and donuts at that event. The Methodist men meet tonight for their district meeting. They're taking a check in the amount of 6,887 pennies, which came through since last May. And I just want to say one more thing quickly. The Share Your Story thing, we signed up to do that for 1 year. I have the slots filled through October. I need no more than 4 people, and we will have it filled through December. If I have not spoken to you, and you have your story, and you're itching to tell it, let me know. Space is limited, but we do want to hear from you. And I have November and December, but I have some of those Sundays filled already also. But, you know, I apologize if I didn't get to you and you want to share your story. We want to hear it. Thank you.
Sure. That was all 4? Okay. We have... a very big celebration. It's an announcement, but it also kind of comes as a joy because whenever you have an honored guest, you know, someone that needs to be celebrated and recognized, someone that's a bit special, Sometimes they have a title. We like to celebrate that amongst us because sometimes they dress in plain clothes. And we have a plain clothes royal queen with us here today. And so I was hoping that Queen Cherokee would be able to come up and share with us a little bit of, could you stand so we celebrate that a newly crowned queen, and we appreciate you coming to share with us in your presence today, that we can share our worship service with you. But it was on Friday night, or yesterday, Saturday, you were crowned queen of homecoming queen at the Peck territory, right? So you defend your crown in that way. Anything you want to share with us before we celebrate that we have royalty amongst us?
Well, I guess I'm just really grateful. Now I have this really big crown that I can wear to go with my other two ones. And I'm just grateful that God let me have the opportunity to do that, because my grandma and her two sisters were both homecoming queens of Millington, and my older two sisters were both homecoming queens of Peck, so yeah, pretty cool. Wow.
So you kind of had some training and things to help you get ready for things.
Yeah, it was in my bloodline.
You know, this is an opportunity where, of course, that's a big moment in her life and her family's life. But for us as a church, we've been so thankful to have you and your family coming and being a part of us and active participants in the life of our church and our family. So can we just celebrate this moment in time with Queen Cherokee? Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
She'll be around after the service if you'd like to get a picture taken with her. So I can do that. Let's go ahead and do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Any birthdays? Any anniversaries? Anniversary? Oh, I'm sorry, Paula. This week's your birthday? Okay. Do you want us to celebrate for you because you're not in the mood to celebrate? What day is it? Tuesday. All right. Does anybody else have a birthday to share with Paula? Yes. September 28th. And we didn't sing last week, did we? Yeah, we did. How about we tack it on, because that way it'll make it a celebration, right? Anybody else? Tiara? Yesterday was your birthday? How old? 8. All right. How old? How old? 7. All right. Add it up and they're getting closer, Paula. See, so we put those together. And anybody else? Let's sing happy birthday to them.
Happy birthday to you.
Of those moments, any anniversaries? You have any anniversaries? No? Okay, well, to allow us to prepare ourselves in a place to begin worship, we're going to set things over to the choir for their intro.
As we join ourselves in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, we are awestruck in your presence. We know your presence, your power, and your glory are amongst us today, Lord, and our cup is overflowing. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you continue to touch our lives and the faithful promise that you will not leave us no matter what. And Lord, as we gather together for this time of worship, we ask that you be glorified in all the things that we say and do and lift up. That you would be honored by this prayer, Lord, as we fully submit our lives in the ministry of this church to you, Lord, and ask for your Holy Spirit to descend upon us and strengthen us and gird us up for the mission that is before us. In Christ's powerful and matchless name, we pray these things. Amen.
All right. Now, things were a little bit different, so now that you see the standing icons in your worship and your order of service, would you please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together, Oh How I Love Jesus, number 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In this time that we gather together for our children's time, we'd ask the kids to come up if we have any kiddos with us. And as we started a new month, as the kids want to come up, there's a space up here, a time that we set aside because we have Sunday school during the service, so we get to spend a little time together. And Miss Erin, we have a new scripture verse that we're going to be learning together this month, don't we? Do you think you'd be able to take us through what the kids are going to be learning, and then we can take that through this week? Because we're asking the adults to participate too, because it's good that all of us learn how to memorize scripture. Yeah. Was that planned beforehand? Were you ready to do that? All right, there we go. Okay.
Remember, we're not changing the verse, but we're putting it in kids' terms. So if you want to look it up in your own Bibles when you get home to learn more of the story that it's going along with, but we just put it in kid terms so they can remember it easily. Our new verse is Ephesians 4:32, and it's be kind and forgiving to one another just like Jesus. So as you can imagine, there's much more of a story in the background and what he's telling us to do and all that. And we're going to learn all about how to be kind and forgiving and what Jesus expects out of us and what he wants us to do for others. But our verse is, be kind and forgiving to one another just like Jesus. Can we do that?
That's a great thing for us to focus on, isn't it? And not just for the kids, but it's good for the adults, for all of us to memorize that simple scripture too. Can we look at, kids, we're going to be looking at a couple of things there, because being kind and being forgiving, those kind of go together, but they're a little bit different, aren't we? We'll be able to talk a little bit about what that looks like. And you know, that's really important, because we're asking all of us to do that. So when we go to our jobs, we want to be kind and forgiving. And right now, your job is school, right? And you see a lot of kids, don't you? And adults too. And it's an opportunity for us to be kind and forgiving to all those people that are around us. Because you know, right, that some people that we're sitting around, that we're sitting in class next to, or that we're eating lunch next to, you ever notice sometimes that people are watching how people behave, and when somebody starts yelling, everybody starts yelling, or if somebody is doing something they're not supposed to, sometimes some other kids do that too. But you know what? Even though sometimes bad behavior that people participate in, they copy, they also copy good behavior too, right? And we're charged by Jesus to be on our good behavior so that people would be able to see how much we love Jesus, just like we sang, right? Oh, how we love Jesus, because he loved us first. So we take that love in our hearts, and we're on our good behavior to show kindness and forgiveness to people, because we want them to see Jesus in us. Can we pray about that? Because that's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it, to show the world Jesus in our life. Can we do that? Can we get in our moment of prayer? And because we're trying to start the new year off, I'm going to try to see if we can lead each other in a moment of prayer. So when we close our eyes, fold our hands, and bow our heads, I'll say something, and then can you guys repeat after me when we say this simple prayer? All right. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and teaching us how to love each other. Will you help us be kind to one another? And will you help us be forgiving to one another so we can be more like you? Bless everyone gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys for saying those words out loud for us. We're going to go ahead and gather in a line and head on downstairs. And Miss Erin, we've only had a few kids because there's only been a couple weeks. Oh, you're going to stay there? Okay, fantastic. Will you go ahead and get in the front of the line and let everybody know where they have to go? Do you know the way? Do you know the way? Go ahead and lead us on. All right. We're so thankful for that. And as they're going down, I know we transitioned to another moment, but dear friends, there is so much joy and so much learning and so many young hearts that are being prepared as they make that trip. And I would just ask for a brief moment, even if we don't stop our service to acknowledge that, when they walk past your pew, could you just say a moment of prayer for each one of them that are going down there and the teachers? It's such a blessing that we have that ministry and that the kids are down there learning. And this opportunity, and then even sometimes we have them up here with us, and we're going to go ahead and have an opportunity to settle ourselves down and sing that God is so good, and that's going to be from the Faith We Sing, if you follow along. On 2056, we'll sing together, God is so good. Please join me again for this opportunity for prayer. And when we're concluding this, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Gracious God, into your presence again we submit ourselves. Lord, we're thankful for your constant attention and loving care upon each and every one of us. Lord, as we come together in prayer again in this moment, we look within ourselves and ask that you would imprint the words that we just sang on our hearts and that we don't forget them. That we walk through this day and the rest of this week, Lord, not losing sight of those simple yet powerful words upon our lives. You are so good, so caring, and so loving to me. And the proof is there in how you continue to work in our lives and the strength and hope that you give us, the strength and the hope that never fails. Lord, we'd ask that you'd fill our hearts with a joy that knows no end, that knows no description by human words, so that we would share that joy with the world and that they would have some hope because of the love your Son showed us on the cross that day and the victory he had from resurrection from that death. Lord, when we come together in prayer, we seek to honor you, so we say a prayer together as our tradition that is inspired by the words of Christ. Could we say together the Lord's Prayer as one body and one voice? Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today, we've been walking through a couple of Sundays, and that will finish up today, is looking at some tangible and visual goals for the life of the church that we celebrate together, because there are so many things that we do in our service to the church, and obviously our service to God through the church and our ministries here. But there becomes an opportunity when we have to look at things that could shore up some of our needs that we have. And so we've been walking through a couple of weeks of some vision, of looking at some things that we need to make as a priority, or things that we need to have not only become dreams or ideas, but become a reality. And so one of those things was a couple of weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about being always ready and prepared, okay, to share the reason why we have the hope and the faith that we have. Now, I didn't quite go to evangelism. That's what I was looking at today. But what I said was that we need to share in our lives the way that God is working, the way that God is faithful, the hope and the trust that we have in God. Because similar to sharing our stories, we need to share them, obviously, so others know. But that first week was really focused on sharing them so that we don't forget. Okay? So that we don't forget how good God is, how faithful God is. And when we're reminding ourselves constantly for the goodness and the blessings that we have because of God's presence in our life, unending presence, it allows us to stand up a little straighter in our faith, and it does guide our behavior, and it guides our faith. Now, the next week, we talked about fellowship. We talked about all of us have a blood relative DNA family that we were born into. We don't really have a choice or say in the matter, right? Some of us have a royal pedigree. Some of us have some other things that we're known for. But, you know, this is a family that even though we might have been raised in the church, some of us have, it's still a family that we chose. Right? We decided that we wanted to be a part of this church family, and we need to be a family who spends time together. Outside of just Sunday, we need to have some time where we're experiencing life together, where we're encouraging one another, and just have opportunities to support and celebrate with one another what things are going on. I don't think I shared it here, so if I did, I apologize, but I shared it with a group this week. That there are some times when I've been away from home and there's just this great news. I get a call or an email or a text or something, and there's great news to be celebrated. And I'll look over because it's my habit to celebrate with my wife, and she's not there at the hotel. So I'm at a loss. Like, I need to, you ever been in that moment when you look over, there's nobody around or something, and you're like, I have to share this with somebody. And sometimes family for some of us is kind of far away as away, right? It's a tank of gas away. The people that we should look to should also be us, right? We know the power of prayer, and we know that we need our church family when we have a prayer request of something that's laying on our hearts. But what about when we have that joy that just, you want to hug somebody, right? That's something we have to share with each other too, right? Those births, those joys, those moments, that's what families share. And so we're looking at opportunities, and there's a few that are coming that we talked about in our discipleship meeting. We have to do better at being a family outside of 11 to 12 on Sunday morning, because there's a lot of life that happens outside of worship. This week, we're going to look at something else. We're going to look at evangelism. Now, this is a Christianese word that some of us are familiar with, but some of us aren't. And some of you listening along on the radio might not know what that word means either. So I looked it up, and I want to give you the educated definition of what evangelism is. The spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or by witness. See, it also says public witness. And witness is sometimes just like it would be in any kind of court scenario. It's testifying to God's presence in our life. So it's not just preaching like what's happening right now. It's testifying personally, sharing our story of God's work in our life and our faithfulness.
So we get to looking at this third week, and to be in the ministry of our church, it's going to be rooted in this section of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. This comes from the New Testament book, of the first chapter, or the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Verse 6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Verse 7. So neither he who plants nor he who waters anything, but only God makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters has one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. And we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now, there are only a couple of verses here, and I'm going to try to read this a bit differently. And I'm going to read through it again just so we have it, because there's only a few verses. Verse 6. I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither who plants or neither who waters is anything, but only God who makes the things grow. Anyone who plants and anyone who waters has one purpose, and each will be awarded according to their labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. I hope when we hear those words, especially if it's one that we're not deeply saturated in, we don't hear that what we are doing here, that what we do in the life of the church doesn't matter. I hope that you can see that even though it says that we turn the power of transformation of what happens, see, we can invite anyone to be part of our life of our church, to be part of worship or an activity that we're doing or a ministry that we're doing, you know, but we can't be responsible for what happens after that. It's God that does the work of transforming. It's God that does the work of convicting. It's God that does the work here, but we are charged with sharing the good news to this community and this world. We are charged with sharing that to them. So it is showing that there is water and that there is planting being happened, but it will only grow with God. And it's so important in evangelism, the act of inviting or the act of sharing or the act of however we would like to call it, whether we use the official term evangelism or not, because I wanted to give you that definition because, dear friends, I understand that everyone doesn't feel comfortable preaching or speaking in front of people. I understand that. But let me ask you this. If you're married, you have a spouse, or maybe even a significant other, do you usually have to be prompted to share with people in your social circle, maybe even outside your normal social circle of work people or community people? Do you really have to be pressed to ever bring them up in conversation? Now, every conversation might not be about them, right? But they happen to come up, don't they, just in everyday life, right? Because we're close to them, right? We live with them. We love them. What about for those of us that have kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews, any young ones in your life, even if they're older young ones, right, but just younger than us? Do we have to be pressed really hard about looking for the exact right opportunity when the stars align and there's an opportunity to talk about our grandkids or niece and nephews or kids? How many of you have lost out on sharing a story or a celebration of your grandkids, your kids, your nieces and nephews because it wasn't the right time? I make time because I love my daughter. I make time, even if I have to say it real quick, about my wife because I love her. We're walking through life together. My dear friends, what changes when we're talking about the Savior of the world and we hesitate? As much as I love my wife and my child, Jesus loves me more. Before I even came to be and met my wife and fell in love with her and had a child, Jesus loved me. We know prevenient grace that before we even became aware of who God was, God loved me and all the junk that I bring with me in my back pocket and all the stuff that seems to follow with me. And you know, the stink. God still loves me. There's no situation that brings me out of that love and grace of God. And I know God because of the Son. And if I have to speak with love to those in this world about that, because I love Jesus. I know you love Jesus. Do you see what I'm getting at, though? Does it mean anything that we won't wait for the right time? We won't be embarrassed to share for those that are in our household or those in our family photo albums? Why do we wait for the Savior of this world who loves people that we don't even know, who loves people whose language we can't understand, who loves people that we literally, physically can't see? And for those people that can't see and hear us because there are physical disadvantages that stop them from doing even the simplest things, Jesus loves them beyond words. You know who else Jesus loves? It's the person that we were waiting for the right time and right situation for us to share the love of Christ to them. But I wonder how often we might make God sad because that opportunity passed us by. Because we didn't feel completely comfortable. Because maybe things would be awkward. Maybe there would be a moment of silence or shock, or maybe someone would say, hey, there's no room for that here. Do you think Jesus called us to be a faithful church of cowards? Do you think Jesus died because it was no big deal with every pounding of those nails, every whiplash that came across and that tore his flesh? As we understand that there's communion on the table, there was a price to that. Now, how many of you, again, have sacrificed either through career or time or resources, that there's someone in your life that you sacrificed for? Now, most of us, there's more than one, right? Now, some of us might ask for that confirmation, right, that you acknowledge that we sacrificed for you, but sometimes don't we just hope that all that sacrifice didn't go for nothing, that we just hope that even if they never say thank you, even if they never officially acknowledge it, that somewhere in their hearts, doesn't it mean something that they would say thank you? Even if they never voice it, that inside, I am so thankful, mom and dad or friend or aunt or uncle or fill in the blank, of what you've done in your life and the price you've paid for my well-being. Don't we hope that? How much more so do we hear Jesus whispers from the cross as air was leaving him with his final words, to ask for forgiveness when we don't realize how much we let him down? My dear friends, this is the vision of the church. It's hard to say and it's hard to talk about. I'm guilty of it. I am guilty of not giving and giving God the space in some of my everyday conversations in life. But you know what? Almost everyone in my life knows that Scarlett started school this week. How much bigger is the Savior of this world and the unending grace that covers us and stains us and is good for generations beyond us and is good throughout the times of history? How much bigger is that announcement? How much bigger is that? Most people know that I've asked for prayers because my wife has gone at a women's retreat. How much bigger is Jesus' work and the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, working and convicting us now? How much bigger than what I have going on in my life and what you have going on in your life is the desire for us to share with this world and share with each other? We need to hear it from ourselves, don't we?
We need to say it to ourselves first in this place to gather the strength, to gather the routine, to gather the courage to go out into this world. Because, dear friends, the world does not want to hear the message that we have. And in every moment of ignorance and denial, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do, for the message that they can't hear. Right here, Paul's talking about planting seeds and watering. I don't have a green thumb. I don't know how deep to dig the hole. I don't know how many seeds you put in. I don't know if there's special water that you need to do. I have no idea how to make things grow. But I can carry a wheelbarrow full of this stuff if you can. I have a lot of weight that comes down on the shovel, so I can get kind of deep with the shovel. In case maybe somebody like Suzanne in her dress can't. I say that because we all have something we can give. Even if we don't know exactly, even if we're not very talented with our words, or sometimes we go through, and I know a few weeks ago that you heard Pastor Curtis here. Did you notice that he stutters? Do you know one of the things he does for a living is talks? Ring a bell from Moses' times? How am I supposed to do this, Lord? But I hope you were as blessed as I was when I heard it back online, his message for us. God can and will use us, but we have to give God something to work with. Would you offer him your life? Would you offer him your voice? Would you offer him the opportunities? Jesus didn't wait it out. He took the opportunity as soon as it presented himself to pay the price for our sins. Can we take the opportunity as soon as it presents itself to say how much we love and appreciate that? And when you know what he's done in my life, there's nothing you're going to be able to say that's going to shake my faith or make me think he's not going to do the same thing for you. Together, dear friends, as individuals, we need to take hold of that good news and make sure it's a part of what we are carrying on. Not that we take it off when we take our church Sunday clothes off. Not that we only put it on when we're driving to church, but that remains around our necks throughout this week. Every day is a gift. And every day there are people that are hurting. Every day Jesus loves me the same as he did before, and he's going to love me the same tomorrow as he does today. The question is, will I fall in love deeper with Christ today than I did yesterday? Will you fall in love with Christ tomorrow more than today? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive us, Lord, for we know not what we might miss or what we might overlook. These are those moments, dear friends, where I would ask you to trust. We lift up the people that we love in this world more than words can explain or fully comprehend. We trust God with those prayers to hear them. And even if it's not necessarily answered the way we want, we're still not alone. Jesus wept and Jesus suffered. He can walk with us in those times of disappointment and suffering because he walked them too. If we are willing to trust the Holy Spirit with those precious, intimate, and fragile things of our life, could we trust that the Holy Spirit would do the simple work of giving us the words to say when the opportunity presents itself? I'll tell you right now. And it might sound a bit humorous or maybe comedic, but it's here for simplicity. If you don't know what to say, leave me on. If you don't know what to say, would you just say, Jesus! He loves me and he loves you. Have a good day. Is that silly? That's courage. I want to reach the heavens. I don't want to be ashamed of the faith that I know. I don't want to be ashamed of that name. I don't want to be embarrassed to say that name in public. Jesus wasn't ashamed of me. And he spoke my name. And he spoke your name. And he said it just as loud because his grace covers us. Now in a moment, in a few minutes, we're going to open that table so that we commit ourselves to this moment. Dear friends, as individuals for the vision of our church, we need to not be embarrassed, to be courageous with the name of Jesus, to have it flow so freely from our lips that if we can't think of some great oratory, talented thing to say, if we can't articulate fully what we say, we can say the name Jesus. And we can say the name love. We can say the name you. The kids learned that song, one of the first songs that they learned. It's because we don't want them to forget it. That simple message that Jesus loves you. And we sang, oh, how I love Jesus. How come? Because first he loved me. Because first he spoke my name. And he said, I want you to have new life. Not just because we all want something new, but because he wants me to have life abundantly. That means more than I could ever ask for. That means more than I can ever vision. He wants me to have more of that. Church, Jesus wants more than we can see. He wants more than we can comprehend. As much as he's blessing us in our discipleship group, he wants more than any idea we could ever come up with. Our cup is to overflow. So we have more than we would ever need. And for the people that we bring alongside of us, when our cup overflows, it can spill into someone else who's got a little bit of room for Jesus in their life. Because we have a little room for Jesus in our life, I'm going to ask our choir to prepare us for the table that will be opened. thankful for those words as it prepares us, as the table's been prepared before us. As the choir finds their way to their seats, again, we're just so thankful that you're a part of our worship and using your gifts and your talents and your time to bless us and sometimes say things that spoken words can't always bring together. As you can see, the next in our order of worship is communion. The Eucharist, the table that the choir just reminded us that we do this to remember and never forget a story that defines us. See, the Passover was designed and set up aside as a meal to tell our faith story, to share a table with those that we love, so that we would never forget God's deliverance in our lives. And it was a way to not only hear the story of our rich heritage, of God's faithfulness, not only to us as individuals, but the entire world, and to celebrate His promises for the future. But it was also to sort of make a new commitment to being faithful people. Today, as the table is prepared before us, we remember that Jesus did something different. He transformed that meal in the same way that even the things that are at work in us today, we are still being transformed onward to perfection as we continue to be molded to more Christ-like. When Jesus sat at the table leading the Passover celebration, gathered around the table of those that He loved, He lifted up the bread, knowing that it would be mere hours before He was betrayed and handed over to the authorities. He asked for God's blessing on the loaf. And it was broken before those that He lived life with, His brother and sisterhood of fellow members of the church family that we would know it now. And when He broke the bread before them, it was broken with the idea that they would never forget. Because as often as you take of this bread, would you remember this broken bread represents My broken body that was given over for you. Each time you participate in this meal, each time the Eucharist table is open, would we not forget the broken body of Christ that suffered for us? Not for Himself, but suffered for us. He took a punishment that was meant to be mine. Jesus then lifted up the cup of suffering, one that the cruelest form of punishment that humanity has ever known. He would fill this cup of suffering. He would cry out to God, "Is there any other way?" He knew this was His future and ours to be. Yet still gathered around the table those that He loved, that He shared life with. He taught and He journeyed with. He asked for God's blessing on this cup. And when it was received, He said, "As often as you take of this cup, would you do so remembering Me, My sacrifice? Would you remember that this seals My covenant, My holy promise that your sins will be forgiven? And when you stain your lips with this, let it also stain your soul on the inside that you will be marked as Mine, that the blood of the Lamb would mark you as being saved by My grace, by My power. Whenever you take of this cup of suffering, remember how much I gave for you. And it was out of love that you can never fully comprehend. I loved you then, and I love you still." For generations before us and for generations after, the bread of life will not leave us hungry. And this staining of the cup of suffering, it will lead to us knowing thirst no more. As is a tradition in our United Methodist Church, especially here in Sandusky, we have communion at the beginning of the first Sunday of every month. Some of us may have taken it before, some of us may not have. Some of us may have had to endure or feel like we're in a different spot than we were last time. This is a routine opportunity for when we gather to celebrate our life, to celebrate our mission, to celebrate our ministry, both as individuals and as a family. The table is open to everyone to not only remember, this isn't just acknowledging, it's to remember Jesus' broken body and his blood that was poured out for us, but it's to recommit ourselves, to renew our response to that saving grace and those eternal promises so that we don't forget why we love Jesus. Because he first loved us. I'd like to ask the communion stewards that are helping out today to come forward. As they are making their way up, I would ask us to remember in the United Methodist Church that we have an open table. And what that means is that whether you've swore allegiance or you've said a certain creed or you've had any type of upbringing, it doesn't matter. If you come today seeking to remind yourself and renew your commitment to Christ, to surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to take lead in your life, the table is open. Let no boundary stand between. If you can't come forward, then let an usher know and we will bring it to you. Jesus opened up the table for all people, all nations, and all races. The table is now open before us. If you would take your positions for the congregation, the ushers will dismiss you. If you feel so led, would you come up and receive the elements? The table is open.
Thank you.
are thankful for the opportunity for us to gather together as family to share this meal together, the most important meal that we could ever partake in. We'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we give our tithes and our offerings. As many times as we talk about, there are many needs, some that we know of, some of that we don't. This is an opportunity for us to give the Lord of our first fruits from the blessings we've already received. Almighty God, for the grace that we did not earn or deserve, in the same way we would ask that these blessings and gifts that, Lord, you are so gracious to give, because they often come undeserved, we would ask just, Lord, that you would bless these offerings in which they came. Lord, multiply them so they would meet needs that we can see, that we know are above us, but, Lord, also the needs that we might not be aware of. Lord, press the needy upon our hearts. Lord, we'd ask that you would bless the houses from which they came and the stewardship for which it will go forward. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. We sing this great song of our faith, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
My dear friends, this great song of our faith, this popular song that so many people know and request, hear these words and hopefully be convicted why evangelism is so important. It doesn't say, I read about. It doesn't say, I just somehow knew. I heard an old, old story. I heard about his groaning and suffering. I heard about his healing. And I heard about his mansion. All my love is due him. All of it. Could we go encouraged today so that others can sing this song for themselves, and not just to sing it with joy and with good vocals, but Lord, because they heard the story that changed their lives. They heard the news. And Lord, who have you sent to share this news but us? Could we go encouraged to share the good news by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Thank you.